The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 17. This is the last of the Ten Commandments, the tenth commandment. And we're going to look at this for just a few minutes here this morning. Praise the Lord. For me, I have studied the Ten Commandments on other occasions, but this has been, an enlightening time, an encouraging time to me, and I trust that you too have been challenged by the Word of the Lord. Exodus 20 and verse 17, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." I think it's interesting that this morning in the Sunday school class, the subject was stewardship, and the whole topic of covetousness was also brought up and discussed a little bit during that lesson. We talk about this morning covetousness, an enemy of contentment, an enemy of contentment. You see, covetousness is really the mother of all other sins. It's different than the other commandments because they all dealt with outward actions, outward sins, lying, stealing, adultery, and on, the various commandments that deal with an outward sin, a deed, or something that was visible. But with covetousness, it's invisible because it's in your heart. It's dealing with your desires. It's dealing with your attitude. It's an inward thing. It's not seen. It's not visible. It's not obvious at all. If a person commits and breaks these other commandments, it becomes very obvious soon if someone is a thief or an adulterer or a liar, or if they dishonor their parents, or if they don't honor the Sabbath. It becomes an obvious thing because it's an outward action or deed that somebody's involved in. But covetousness is a sin that begins in the heart. Now, it will eventually reveal itself. It will eventually become a deed if it's not dealt with, if you do not allow the Lord to help you to bring those thoughts, those desires, those things under the check of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Then you are going to find that your covetousness will eventually become an activity, a deed. You'll become not just someone who has a desire, but you will be committing the act. You will be involved as a participant in the sin. All of these other commandments, actually, when you break these other commandments, it started with covetousness. It started with covetousness. You can see it as it relates to for instance, stealing, to desire what someone else has, and then you go and you take what they have. Adultery, the same thing. Go and take is not lawful for you, or which is not, does not belong to you, and you commit adultery, and on in the commandments. And so this makes it much more personal and much more difficult, because you can hide away in your covetousness and no one ever really know, or at least for a long period of time, never know, because it may not manifest for a very long time. But covetousness is an enemy of contentment and peace. And you see, contentment is the blessing that comes to us because we are children of God. We're servants of the Lord. And we come to the Lord and we can learn what it is to be content with the things that He has provided for us. And so you have to deal with the heart. It's the heart of the matter. You see, the Bible talks about that everything flows out of your heart. Out of your heart are the issues of life. It's like a wellspring. Everything flows from your heart. Everything flows from your desires. You don't just fall into sin. You actually entertain it first. You think about it, and it becomes a desire in your heart, and then it becomes an act that you commit. Amen. And so it's an important thing that we talk about, covetousness, the seriousness of it. To covet, the meaning is just to desire to have more. But really, it goes a step further. It's like an excessive desire to have more. It is a desire that is out of control, a desire to have more. Really, the root of it is discontentment and ungratefulness. When you are contented and you're grateful, then you have an appreciation for what God has given to you. You don't think you deserve more or something else that someone else has. You recognize that what you have is a gift from God. He's provided it for you, and you are grateful to God for it. Amen. That's the spirit of every Christian. Now, that doesn't mean that God hasn't placed in all of us certain desires for things that he's made available to us. There's nothing wrong with having appropriate desires. Nothing wrong with wanting to achieve or to have some success in your life or to have some accomplishments in your life. I believe all that has come from God, but it all has to be brought under and subjected to the will of God, the Word of God, and God's direction for your life and what he's wanting to do in you. I believe he gives to us desires. There's nothing wrong with desiring to learn. Nothing wrong with a desire to have an education. Nothing wrong to desire to have a spouse, a wife, or a husband, or a family. None of these things are wrong to desire. God has placed these desires in our heart, and there's nothing wrong with longing for those things. Amen. But whenever something becomes so out of control that it becomes more important to you than your service to God, than your submission to God and to the will of God, that's the most important thing. In Joshua, the scripture talks about that if you keep the law, Joshua 1 and 8 described this. I don't think I gave this verse to Brother Darrell, but if this book of the law does not depart from your mouth, then he'd promised Joshua that he was going to be prosperous and successful. That God was going to cause him to succeed. God would cause him to prosper. When it was, you see, if God prospers you, then you don't have to worry about it destroying you or doing you damage. My wife has often said jokingly, and I'll get her in trouble this morning as I always do, that she said, I just want one chance to prove that $1 million won't ruin me. One chance. Well, it might. It might. And especially if your desire for the things of this world are out of control and not subjected to the law of God and to the will of God for your life, it very well may be that it's not the will of God for you to have $1 million or you to have certain things in this life. But there are certain parameters whereby we can desire and we can long to have success, to make achievements, to do things, especially if it's for the glory of God, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Then I say, go ahead and follow your dreams and trust God to provide those things that are necessary. Brother Bakri has for many, many years had a dream to see a Christian radio station built in Freetown, Sierra Leone, West Africa. And this has been many years of working and trying to make this dream become a reality. It's for the glory of God. It's for souls. It's to advance the kingdom of God in a largely Muslim nation. And so God has provided. God has provided funds now that can be become a reality. But now there's a new hurdle there in West Africa that's affecting the lives of many people with the outbreak of Ebola. And so that's kept them in the States. They can't go back to their homeland until this situation is brought under control there. But the desire is there. It's a good desire. It's going to please God. It's going to advance the kingdom of God. And so there's nothing wrong with having dreams and desires to achieve and to succeed in the will of God for your life. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But covetousness goes beyond that. It is this intense desire. It's an extreme desire. It's an out-of-control desire for something that you don't have, and that you very likely don't need, and a desire for something that has so got a hold of your heart that everything else is unimportant to you now. You're wanting that. You're desiring that. And that covetous spirit gets a hold of your life. Someone has defined it this way. It's an intense or an internal satisfaction that does not demand change in external circumstances. That's contentment. That's contentment. You're satisfied. And you don't have, nothing else has to change in your life. You're satisfied. So it's possible to be satisfied with what you have, but still long for more things that God has for you, as long as it's kept in the proper order and the proper balance. And I hope I'm communicating this to you this morning the best way. One of the verses that was mentioned this morning in the Sunday school class is 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we often turn there because when we think of covetousness, we think of money and people who will do anything to get more money. That it's like it captivates their thinking and their mind, and they want more and more and more and more. There's the warning here in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. There's the word again. Let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich. This is describing a person that they have set their heart and their affection on the things of this world. They that want to be rich, they long to be rich, they desire the things of this world. The Bible gives this warning. They that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now that's a serious verse. And it should be a big warning to all of us. You say, well, I don't have to worry about this because I don't have any money. That doesn't make any difference at all. Because you could have nothing and have the seeds of covetousness in your heart. That all you think about is, I want to get more. I want to have more. I want to get the things of this world. And you've got a car that runs good and it's fine. And you just look and say, but I want that one. You've got a warm, comfortable house, but you're saying, no, I want that one. You've got nice clothes, but you look around and you say, well, they've got better clothes than me. I want clothes like that lady does or that man has. I want that. I want to have those things or whatever it is that captures your attention. You want to have things. You want to have money and all the prestige and everything that goes along with it. Those that set their heart on riches, there is a very stern warning here. Amen. It's a very stern warning. A person that sets their affection on riches, it's a temptation, it's a trap, it's a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's a dangerous, dangerous pursuit to set your heart and your affection on the things of this world. Amen. And so we need to take heed to the warning of God's word. Verse 10, 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's often misquoted. Some will say that money is the root of all evil. We know that's not true. Money has a very important part to play in everyone's life. and that God has given to us what he has, and he has called us to be stewards over the things that he's provided for us. It's not ours. It all belongs to him, but he's allowed us to be a steward, to be a watchman, a guardian of the things that he's given to us. So we know that money is not evil, but it becomes a very evil. It becomes the root of every evil when it becomes the love of your life. The love of money becomes the root of every evil. Every other evil springs up out of this covetous spirit, like we described. Lying and stealing and adultery and sometimes even those who dishonor their family. They dishonor their parents after their parents have died because the family gets in a big squabble and they fight and fall out with one over what little bit is left. And that's not the will of God. That isn't pleasing to the Lord at all. And you dishonor your family, your parents. The Bible says honor your father and mother. And you honor them even through the right and proper attitude toward the possessions that they have passed on to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Honor them. And it's the root, though. That when it spring, it affects everything you do. The Sabbath day, honoring the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, setting it apart for worship to God. But when a person is gripped by the spirit of covetousness, then there's the temptation to not honor the Lord's day, but instead to think, well, if I could work this day, I can make more money. Or if I could keep my business open on the Lord's day, I will make more money. Not so. Not so. It's more important to put God first, to honor the Lord and to serve the Lord. But the spirit of covetousness will cause you to make and break other of the commandments. And really, you can make this application to all of these other commandments, but I won't take time to do that here this morning. Now, I've already said, desiring good things is from God. It's when it's out of control. It's when desires are not guided by the perimeters of the Word of God. When they get out of control, that's when you find yourself in serious trouble. Moving into areas that dishonor the Lord and leading into shameful, sinful activity that dishonors the Lord and destroys your testimony and your effectiveness for God. And eventually, if you're not careful, if you walk down that pathway, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to walk away from the favor and the blessing of God in your life. It's always the right thing to allow God to control your life and control your desires. I've heard people misinterpret that verse of Scripture a lot of times, that if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. People have misquoted that, like, you know, I want this kind of a car. I want this. I want that. And I desire those things. But they don't give enough time to considering the first part of that verse of Scripture. When you delight yourself in the Lord, then he places the desires in your heart that are in order. They're proper. They're biblical. They honor God. But the key to the right attitude toward the things of this world is to delight yourself in God. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord and the things of the Lord. And in everything you do and even every decision you make, that you're asking the question, is this pleasing to God? Will this honor the Lord? Will this advance the kingdom of God? Ask many of those pertinent questions. But to have desires is a good thing. As a matter of fact, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Talking about spiritual gifts, certain gifts of the Spirit. Those gifts that you should long for them, and you should desire to be used of the Lord in the gifts of the Spirit or in many other areas of the work of the Lord. A desire to be used of the Lord is right, and it's good. Amen. To have the right kind of desire, not desires that are inordinate or out of control or excessive, but desires that are brought in check by the Holy Spirit and by the word of God, and that always pleases God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and God will just pour out his blessings upon you. He'll give to you great things, the desires of your heart, more than you can even imagine, more than you could contain, if you'll be willing to honor the Lord with your whole life. Amen. Colossians 3 and 5, it says, mortify. We know what that word means. We know what a mortician is. He's the person that takes care of the deceased, the dead. And it says, to mortify or put to death. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. Now, those are some pretty serious sins. The third one in the list is inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. And the fifth one is covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. That it's putting something before the will of God. Something becomes more important to you than God's word, than God's plan for your life. And the scripture here calls covetousness idolatry, because you have put something in this world above and before the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, how do you deal with the whole spirit of covetousness? How do you deal with it? Since we all, you know, it's not obvious if a person is covetous at all. We don't know, because it's something that's born in their heart. And that's what we have to recognize, that it's in your heart. It's in your affections. That's where it germinates. That's where it comes to life. Mark 7 and 21, from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, all these gross, horrible sins. It all was, first of all, born in your heart. It was, first of all, in your desires, in your thoughts. And then it eventually is lived out in your actions and your deeds. Proceed evil thoughts. Out of your heart, out of your heart. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It starts with your heart. Amen. It begins in your heart. Whenever you see that a person is living a way that dishonors the Lord and doing things or going places they shouldn't go or participating in activities they shouldn't, it very likely all was born in a thought, in a desire that they didn't bring under subjection to God and to the word of God and the will of God. And they allowed that thing to begin to grow, and before long, it begins to captivate their life, their thoughts, and their desires become so strong that they step out into the world and they begin to involve themselves in the things, sinful practice. Have you seen people before? And I've had occasions over the years where someone just, it seemed like this instantly, they went from a person walking before God in purity and holiness, and suddenly, wow, they just made this very quick, abrupt change, and you just think, how did that happen? How did they just go so quickly into sin? Oh, it didn't happen that quick. It was going on in their heart for a while. Right. It was going on for a while in their heart, and they were entertaining the thoughts of sin, and they were allowing that thing to become something that they entertained, and that they allowed those thoughts to become too important to them. They didn't bring it into check. That's why it's important to be in church. That's why it's important to have a daily time with the Lord, to be a person in the Word and in prayer, because during those times that the Spirit of God makes you aware that your heart is deceitful above all things. And the only thing that can bring it into check is the work of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that brings to light the things that have been born in your heart. And if you don't deal with them, eventually they'll become something that's lived out in your life. Preacher up in Chicago area that pastored one of the largest Baptist churches in the United States, and a strong preacher, independent Baptist preacher. I'm talking 20,000 people in this church. And But he began to counsel young teenage girls in an inappropriate way. I mean, I'm talking about without his wife or without witnesses. And it eventually became something that was gross and terrible sin. That man, just a few weeks ago, was sentenced to 7 years in prison. He walked out of the pulpit of 20,000 people and into a prison cell for at least 7 years. And what a horrible, horrible disgrace has come to that church and to that community. But it all started in his heart. It all was born in his heart. He entertained those thoughts. He allowed those things to become something that he didn't bring into check. And there's not one person here, not one of us that could ever say, oh, I'm above that. I would never fall into that. I would never do those kind of terrible things. Don't ever say you wouldn't, because you're living every day in the flesh. And if you don't bring every thought into captivity, every action, every activity, if you don't allow, if you allow those things to become something that are growing in your heart, in your spirit, that they will become a reality in your life. Amen. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. If you'll take care of the heart problem, you will take care of the problem of sin in your life. Amen. If you take care of the heart problem, bring it into check and recognize every day you come before the Lord and you just say, Lord, you know, I'm saved and I'm thankful for the grace of God, but this day, give me power to live above sin. This day, give me power to resist temptation, to not allow these thoughts to become a part of me. Don't allow these things, Lord, to have an influence upon my life. If you don't, then eventually that evil will be born in your heart, and then it will eventually defile you and destroy you. It's a heart problem. Ephesians 5 and verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. We cannot excuse it. Now, if someone is committing some evil sin that's obvious, then we would say, that's not right. That's not biblical. You can't do that. But we don't know what's going on in people's hearts. We don't know what each of us are thinking about daily, what our meditations are, what our thinking is. We don't know what's going on. That's why we need to submit ourselves to God and submit ourselves to the things of the Lord, and that our affections and our desires be brought under subjection to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Covetousness is an enemy of contentment. Contentment should be the characteristic that just completely controls who you are. Amen. Now, I could look down the road or somewhere and say, but that preacher, look what he's got. Look at the things he has. And if I allowed myself to look at others, then I'll eventually become discontent. You know, you know that the whole advertising world is built upon the idea of trying to make you feel discontented. Yeah. Much of the advertising that goes on these days, it has to do, you can't live without this. You've got to have this. You can't go another day without another one of these. And it's all built upon that idea of making you feel like you're missing out on something that this world has to offer. So it's a problem of the heart. It's a hidden problem. It's easy to cover up, but it will eventually manifest itself if not dealt with. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. It can be easily covered up, but don't allow yourself to live and exist in that kind of a world where when you're living, covering up those things that are in your mind, in your heart. Amen. Don't allow that to be true or real in your life. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. They didn't want to hear that. Because what he did, what Jesus did when he dealt with the sins of the Pharisees, is he dealt with their outward sin, but he really dealt with their inward sin, their heart. He put his finger on their heart, that they really had two masters. They wanted to please people. They wanted to be seen of men. They wanted their religion to be seen of men. But Jesus dealt with the real issue, and that was that their heart was far from God. And he said, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and things or money or possessions. You can't have a divided heart. Amen. But you must put those things as most important in your life, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving you several other verses of scripture here this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. You notice in all these different readings that I'm giving to you, that covetousness is listed right along with these things that we consider awful, gross sins. Covetousness is right in the list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. And I can read on verses 30 and 31, which I don't know if he's got that on the screen or not. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. What an evil list of sins. And covetousness is right there in the list of those things. Well, will covetousness and these hidden sins, will they keep you from heaven? Well, you don't need to just take it from me. Take it from the Word of God. What does the Bible say about that? Ephesians 5 and 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, there's always the connection, covetousness and idolatry, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Those are strong words. That's why it's important that we be a people who are open and transparent, especially when we come before the Lord. We allow God to work in us, to deal with us. The hidden man of the heart. Those areas that are hidden from everyone else. But yet we allow ourselves to be brought under the scrutiny of the light of God's Word and the Spirit of God as He deals with us in our life. In the book of Joshua chapter 7, there's the story of Achan. You know the victories that they went in, and then they took Jericho, and then they moved on to Ai. Ai was a small city, but when they went up against Ai, they were immediately defeated. And Joshua falls on his face and says, Lord, what's going on? Why? You gave us this wonderful victory in Jericho. Now why have we suffered this defeat in Ai? And the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, because there is sin in the camp. Sin has been committed in the camp. And so you've lost my blessing, my favor, because of the sin that's in the camp. Joshua 7 and 20 says, and Achan answered Joshua after he was confronted by Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. It started with the desire. The warning had been, when you go into Jericho, you cannot take of the spoils of Jericho. You can't do it. And the reason was because it was the first fruits of their inheritance, and they were not to. After that, they were able to go in and take all of the possessions and all of the bounty of every city and every region that they took. They could take all of their wealth and all of anything. They divided among themselves, but not Jericho. Why? That was the first fruits. That belonged to God. But Achan, he looked around and he saw it. And began to become a desire for it, and then he stole it, and then he hid it. That's kind of the progression that takes place. Oftentimes, it starts with the desires of your heart, And then you commit the deed and you commit the sin against God. And then you want to hide that sin. Hide it. Desire, then deed, then deception. That's what happened to Achan. To sin against God. The terrible judgment that fell upon his household, upon his family, and upon all of Israel because of this sin of covetousness. It's a serious, serious thing. So as we close out this whole series of messages on the Ten Commandments, I would say that this one is probably the key to all of the rest of the nine. Because you're willing to allow God to deal with the hidden man of your heart. Amen. Psalm 119 in verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. How do you deal with the problem of covetousness or of a heart that is desiring the things of this world? Incline your heart to thy testimonies, to the word of the Lord. Look to God. Look to the word of God. Allow that to become the thing that you desire and that you are pursuing. The things of God need to be the most important thing to you. Amen. Praise God. I mentioned in the Sunday school class in a comment this morning, preacher that I've read about that has come into millions and millions of dollars. And then when this happened, he said, I felt I had this whole problem. You wouldn't think that having millions and millions of dollars would be a problem. But as a Christian, it became a problem because he said, Lord, I've got all this money. What do you want me to do with it? I really don't need it. I've got everything I need. I've got a nice home. I've got all these possessions. What am I going to do with it? Then he realized that the whole principle of stewardship still applies. That what God has given to you, he's given it to you for a purpose. And so eventually, he began to disperse of those monies to the point that he is giving away 90% of what he earns and 10% of it he's living on. Amen. We're talking about millions of dollars. Matter of fact, it was over $100 million. Now, what's 10% of $100 million? Mathematician, $10 million? You think you could live on $10 million? He gave away the rest of it, and he's still got plenty left. But he understands the fact that money can become too important to you, and if God has given it to you, then he must have a purpose in allowing you to have it. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he that hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, your greatest possession is that God has promised to be with you. I mean, you may be scraping the bottom of the barrel. You may not have enough money to meet the bills this week, but he's with you. He's with you. Let your conversation, which that word means more than just your talk, your actions, your activity, your behavior. Let your behaviors, your lifestyle be without covetousness. Be content. Be content. Oh, that's the blessing of the Christian life, is to be content with what God has given to you. And it may not be that much, but be content with what he's given to you, because you really have the greatest treasure that anyone could ever have, and that is the promise of God. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be your help. Your ever present help in the time of need. There's no greater wealth than the promise of God to be with you every day and every week, no matter what you face. God is with you. That's more important than lots of money and lots of possessions, is just knowing that God is with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No greater treasure than that. Covetousness is a sin of the heart, a sin of the spirit. It's a hidden thing. But it can be dealt with. But it has to be an intentional thing that on a daily basis, on a regular basis, that you're coming before the Lord and admitting your need of God. Amen. And you pray the prayer like David did. Lord, search me. Know me. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Try me. Put me to the test, Lord. Look, you search me. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? You can't know it. If you examine yourself, you're going to excuse some areas of your life. You're going to say, well, I know that's not good. That's not good. This is okay, though. It's not a big deal. The natural tendency is to not make righteous judgment when you're dealing with your own heart. It's a deceitful thing. Your heart is deceitful. But when you come before the Lord, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, when you come into His presence and God is dealing with you, and I can tell you over the years, the many, many times that I have been in services and I've been sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, and God would begin to deal with me and go way back and deal with me about things, you know, months before, years before, things I did, things I said, things I didn't know were hidden away in my heart, but the Holy Ghost just bring it to light and make you aware of those things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Oh, how important it is that we find contentment from just knowing that every day Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I don't know what your problems or needs might be today. You may have a big financial need, a big burden, and you don't know what to do. Take comfort in the fact that God is with you. He knows what you need. Even before you ask, He knows what you need. You're His child. He'll take care of you. He'll supply for you. That's not just some platitude. That's not just something we say that sounds real good around the church. It's the truth. It's the truth. My God shall supply all of your needs. All of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, for the truth, Lord, that penetrates our hearts. Lord, there's areas of our life that I know are not pleasing to You. And Lord, You can bring those things to light. You can cause those things to be brought to the surface, Lord, in our hearts. Lord, that we've allowed to be hidden away. And I ask You, Lord, to deal this morning by Your Spirit. Because there may be things, Lord, that we didn't even know were there. We didn't even realize that we had entertained those thoughts. But somehow we've allowed them to become something in our heart, kind of hidden away. But Lord, today, by Your Spirit, You can bring us to the place that we can allow You, God, to deal with that, to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to purge us. Oh, God, wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in this place today. And I pray, Lord, that if there are those here in this service that are not saved, Lord, that they would see that right now, today, is the day of salvation. If there are those, Lord, that have strayed away from You, that they have really backslidden in heart, walked away from the things of God. Lord, would You deal with us, Lord, in these areas of our life that we've allowed to become so important to us and to put You first. Hallelujah.